pray for each and every family member here. Each situation is different. Each life is different. Each person going through their valley top or valley lows, one way or another, going through them nonetheless, but you know each and every situation. I pray for each and every family member. Give guidance and strength, direction, healing. We thank you for the many blessings, the small blessings you give us each and every day. Just the simple fact of the blessing of getting out of the bed in the morning, putting our feet in the floor to get through the day. Good night of sleep, the health and the strength to get through the day. We thank you for each and every blessing you've given us. We pray for the pastor as well and his family as they're down in Texas enjoying a little R&R, hopefully. We pray that you'd give them strength, guidance, and direction, give them safety as they travel back as well in the days to come. And as well for Sunday, when Jeff Burke is going to be here, we anticipate what you have, the message you have through him as well. We pray this evening that the message that you've given through the study to myself, that you would touch hearts, each and every one, if it be your will, give guidance and wisdom and direction there. We thank you again for each one that came out. Thank you for the blessings you give us each and every day. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. Well, tonight, we're going to... I was thinking along the lines of another study, but yesterday, with July 4th not too far behind us, I'm going to go into, it's called a state of measured freedom, what we view as true freedom, and what the world views as freedom. But how many have ever, during their lives, your life, it just feels like a boat adrift? Yeah, I call it dead drift in the water, no sails, no motor, not going nowhere, no direction, no compass. I think each and every one of us, at one point or another, I think we can say that we felt that way. Some may be going through it now. Some may go through it more often than others, and it has a tendency to try to depress. It gets a little bit depressing with no direction, no compass, no mission, no way forward. But God never leaves us without a direction. He will always be there no matter what. He will never leave us nor forsake us, and he won't give us more than we can bear. There's many promises that we can rely and rest upon throughout his word, throughout the page of his word. But tonight, we're going to look at freedom in a way. It's going to be a couple of verses. We're going to go to Genesis 2, verses 15 through 17. If you would turn there, please. Somebody wants to read that, or I could read that, no problem. Yes, ma'am.
And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die.
From the very beginning of creation, he gave Adam a job to perform. Adam was to dress the Garden of Eden and keep it. God also placed boundaries on Adam's behavior. He told Adam what he could do and could not do. God gave Adam permission to eat from every tree of the garden. That's freedom. However, after telling Adam that, God followed the gift of freedom with a restriction. He told Adam he could not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Seems to be somewhat contradictory at the time of the reading, if you in a sense. But if you're giving someone freedom, why follow it with restrictions? The reason this seems contradictory is that most people do not truly understand what true freedom is and how it works. Freedom is measured by boundaries. And God gave Adam quite a few boundaries to follow. But if you look at it through, I'll use myself as an example or others, how many kids you've actually heard about, I can't wait till I get out of the house and start making my own decisions, start doing this, choices. I've heard many numerous kids, I said it myself, that's just the way it was. Only we were faced with a different time and a culture and a civilization than what our kids, our grandkids and everything are facing right now that are graduating. We had a lot different life when we walked into reality, graduated high school and walked into reality, but it was pedal to the floor and we never looked back. There was no whoa. But that's the thing, the decisions you make have boundaries, and the choices you make have boundaries, no matter what good, bad decisions and different. We've all made them, good and bad, and sometimes bad decisions lead to other bad decisions. It's like sort of like a domino effect, sort of a trickle-down effect. It starts slowly at the top of the hill and starts working and snowballing its way down the hill, decision after decision, until you finally reach bottom, rock bottom. And you think there's nowhere else to go, but decisions. There's nowhere to go but up. But that's how a world like the truth of the reality comes into play with addicts. Alcoholics or whatever, it doesn't matter who you want to talk about. Whether you're an adrenaline junkie, depends on no matter what you're addicted to. Addictions mask and they nullify reality. But the sad part of it is, when you sober up, reality's just there. It's waiting just to kick you in the teeth, right? Say, hey, I'm still here. I didn't go nowhere. It just nullifies, sort of numbs our feelings to the choices, the bad choices we made, or the good choices, whichever be the case. But what I didn't realize is that any time you violate God's boundaries, you only exchange your boundaries for bondages. It's simple. Boundaries for bondage. That's violation of God's rules and regulations, his commandments, his edicts, whatever he passed down to the page of history. And Adam did just that. He wasn't alone in his violation, but freedom is only found within God's boundaries. Every time you step outside those boundaries, you're placing yourself in bondage. There are no freedoms anywhere in life that do not have boundaries attached to them. We're not even talking God's boundaries. We're talking boundaries in general. Freedom, true freedom that we experience in this world and in this country, is attached. Freedom is attached to boundaries. They have a boundary one way or another. Whether we're talking about military, we're talking about the people that serve this country, first responders, whoever may run this country, governors, mayors, presidents, whoever it may be. I'm not going to go into the people that are filling them positions, but the freedom that we experience, the true freedom we experience each and every day, has boundaries no matter how we look at it, if we're dealing with God's rules or our rules. But freedom is enjoyed and enlarged when boundaries are respected and obeyed, yet these freedoms are eliminated when they are not. I like the example that in the book, the study that I did, he was talking about when he got his license, when he first got his license, turned 16, his dad tossed him his keys, and that was the last time he remembered until he seen the colored lights, the flashing lights in the rearview mirror, and it wasn't just one, two, or three times. He ended up losing his license for 6 months and was back to the bike, limited to boundaries, it tightened the boundaries in from what he was used to. He was given freedom, but he was taking freedom as well because of the boundaries for what the laws that he didn't think he had to follow. But it was interesting nonetheless. But true freedom is always measured by its boundaries, not by the absence of them. The choice you make to either respect those boundaries is not in the difference between true freedom and bondage. God told Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That tree was the middle in the middle of the garden, and it represented the only boundary in Adam's world. The fruit that that tree offered man, the ability to be led by a source other than God. The wrong choice would give the mind, will, and emotions of man, his soul, the desire to think, want, and feel things that were different from God's design. How many times have we went against the rules, the regulation of the boundaries, the freedoms that we were given down through the years, only to be caught back by rules, regulations, the boundaries that we didn't think were there, the invisible boundaries that we didn't see, we didn't expect to be hit with. But Adam was, when he made the wrong decision. It was the only thing that he was told not to do. Simple command, not to do it, not to eat it. But as we all know, he did. God was so strongly against man abusing his freedom and choosing to eat from that tree that he told Adam that in the day that he did, he would surely die. There was no uncertainty, no ambiguity about God's instruction to Adam. God initially gave this instruction to Adam. Now, this is where it comes in to play. The world likes to start pointing fingers as, well, she made me do it. He made me. We're not going to do that. We're not going anywhere with Eve, because if you really look at it, she was not created yet when God gave Adam the command not to eat of that tree. Technically, if you really look at it, Adam was responsible for the teaching of the instruction for helping Eve's personal relationship with God grow. So, in a sense, it could be a little bit of on man's part for not, on Adam's part for not teaching, or helping the personal relationship of Eve, between Eve and Christ, Eve and God. Because like I said, she wasn't, it was later on in chapter 2, in the beginning of chapter 3, when God created a helpmate for Adam. But Eve had yet been created when God issued his command against eating the fruit of the tree. We know that God held Eve responsible for obeying the serpent because she was punished when she violated that command. But like I said, don't you think that quite likely that Eve's failure to remember the details of what God actually instructed was a direct result of her husband failing to accurately teach her God's words to begin with, the command that God gave Adam first and foremost? I mean, that hits home not only just because of freedom, this aspect of where I was going with freedom, but it also hits home in my own life. I mean, people taking responsibility for their own choices, their own actions. How often do you see that in today's world? I mean, everybody's blaming. They want to point fingers. He made me do it. She made me do it. The devil made me do it. How many times you hear this down through the ages, not only from children, but adults? I mean, the responsibility lies squarely on our own shoulders when we make choices, when we make decisions, no matter what that decision is, good or bad, indifferent. It rests solely in our lap. But when it comes down to freedom, like I said, as a result, the measured freedom God had given to man had his boundaries violated. That violation was caused by an outside presence, serpent, now, that took advantage of Eve's personal relationship with God, between her and God. That's where the freedom, true freedom, and that boundary was crossed. And obviously she gave to Adam, and Adam ate as well, and sin entered the world, and we were all born with a natural sin nature, each and every one of us, down to until the end of time. It's sort of a catch-22. We're born into sin, but we still have the free will to choose. That free will is a kicker. It seems to be like a catch-22 to the society, to everybody. in some cases. But again, like I said, examples of myself and others, I've other stories I've seen down through the years. We crossed them boundaries, and we didn't think about the callback or the refraction about what our choices and our decisions were going to cause, not only for ourselves, but the folks around us, the people around us, whether they be family, whether they be friends. And those freedoms, sort of like a child whenever they're growing up. You let them go play outside, there's a boundary. They have the freedom to go outside as long as they stay in the yard. They get a little bit older, okay, you can go down the street as long as you stay in the neighborhood. But it's a simple example, a simple illustration, but they violate that. They get punished and they get brought back. You have to play in the yard. You can't play in the street. You can't play in the neighborhood no more with your friends. But there's always repercussions no matter what. It's like the pastor said, there's the ripple effect. It affects not only yourself, but others around, others surrounding you, family, friends, people you know, people, acquaintances. And it goes down through, like I said, it's a domino effect. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but when we make bad choices, but when it's also the same as when we make good choices, it's also a domino effect from one person to the next. You talk to a friend or coworker about Christ at work, invite them to church. It's a domino effect. It's one person to the next, two people to the next, and it just goes down through, it reverberates, good or bad. But boundaries are there. And true freedom is always measured by boundaries. Not the absence of boundaries. The choice to make to either respect those boundaries or not is the difference between true freedom and bondage. Simple, plain and simple as that. And sad to say, a lot of times, the respect is where it comes from, where it comes down to when you're making decisions as well, too. And I use myself as another example. You have to respect those boundaries and the freedom that you're given at the time and expand on that and keep respect, even keep giving respect. Respect gives respect, breeds respect. It helps. I mean, it doesn't stop there. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. And in the end, like I said, when you start making better, when you start making better decisions, come out of that valley, start moving up the mountainside, start moving up the hill. It's a long, hard row to get there. And sometimes it seems like it won't ever come. But it does. But it comes with boundaries. Like I said, that's where the true freedom, that's where our true freedom that we experience in this country, the freedom to come here to worship on a Wednesday night, the freedom to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, the freedom to worship Christ as we see fit, and the freedom to preach and to spread Christ's word and the mission as we see fit around the world, not only in our own country, not only in our own backyard outside these doors, but in our own town, in our own cities. It's a domino effect. It just spreads. But that was where I had planned on. Like I said, I was thinking about going a different direction with the study tonight until I came across this. Like I said, with being the 4th of July and all a couple of days ago, the country needs to learn where true freedom lies, and where respect starts with the boundaries that gives us those freedoms that we experience each and every day. And sad to say, a lot of our kids in school and elementary, high school, all the way through college, they're not being taught. They're not being taught the right thing. They're not being taught true freedom and the boundaries that come along with those freedoms. That if we do cross the line, no matter what good or bad decision, it comes down, the repercussions come down, and you have to pay for those decisions you make. Just like Adam did, Adam and Eve both. They had the world, they walked with God in the garden, they talked with God, perfect world, and only one decision went downhill. It kind of started the ball rolling down the hill, the long hill all the way through the pages, through Adam and Eve, from David to Bathsheba to Samson, Delilah, it doesn't matter who you want to talk about. A lot of the ball just kept rolling and rolling, decision after decision, boundaries and freedoms given down through the ages of history in the Bible, only with bad choices being made, some bad choices. There were good choices as well, but it comes down to respect the boundaries for the freedom that we love each and every day and experience each and every day. But join me in prayer if you would, please. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this evening. I thank you again for each and every one that came out.